day. Welcome to family.
Assalamu alaikum to you, Pastor Timothy. I'm related to the children to be on the program this morning. As you know, I'm very private. Other than when I'm teaching the chapter of Ina, I'm working on it. So, once again, assalamu alaikum to you and to your listening audience. Ramadan Mubarak, because this is the holy month of Ramadan. Remember what Sayyidina Muhammad taught me, because food development actually says, it's a seed that goes into the ground, and it comes up as a stem, and then a flower, and then a fruit. I was born a North American. When I say North American, most people when I was younger would say, well, what is a North American? I say, I'm a descendant from Morocco, and we were born in the North. And we used to go to the North Science Temple. My father, he was one of the first three followers of Mohammed Ali, and here in Europe. So, I had five siblings. My brother, two brothers, three sisters. And then my brother Salome was twins. This morning, I want to talk about growing up as a Marshall American. Growing up as a Marshall American, we called it a temple. We had the temple, and everything that we did actually was in the temple. You know, reading, we were like the nation of Islam, we were like nation in a nation. What happened is we used to go to the temple on the weekend, and the teachers and people, and you can see how we were dressed, and we had our own school. So, just like the school was Prophet Muhammad's school, we had our own school. And I didn't go to the public school until I was about 6, 7, 8. And I remember the first day we went to public school, and when we came back, my mother said, well, what did you learn? So we said, no, mom, we didn't learn anything, nigga. Did some cookies and milk before she took a nap. And in most schools, they teach you from the cradle. I don't care how young you are. But they teach you everything. They first they start off by teaching you about the religion and your family members. So it was close knit. So we went to the temple on Saturdays and Sundays. And that was our day to go to the temple. So I'm waiting for you now to ask me some questions. I'll be able to answer the questions.
You know, historically, it's so interesting growing up in the Morris community. And specifically, you mentioned Mobutu Ali. So your introduction somewhat to Islam, and I want you to talk about this before you go into your introduction to the nation of Islam, but there was exposure to Islam and formats under Mobutu Ali, as his ideology tended to be a culmination of the Prophet Jesus, also the orientation of Buddha, and the life on some levels of Prophet Muhammad's Muhammad, peace be upon him. Am I correct in saying that? If you can elaborate on that just a little bit more.
Yes, you are correct. When Mobutu Ali came to America, like the Quran, Mobutu Ali came to America, they didn't let him teach out of the Quran. They had restrictions on them. So what he did is he created a book he called the Holy Quran, and it said, the most holy temple of science, Mobutu Ali. I had it here, so tragic. I want to read a few things from it. But before then, my mother's oldest sister, this is her material, and she had two nieces that she took care of. Her daughter was killed in a car accident, so she raised them to granddaughters. And she would never let anybody in her room. She was born on Christmas Day. She lived to be, I think, 105 years old, or maybe 107. She was the oldest senior, she was the oldest senior in these forms. And this is her material. She didn't let anybody in her room, so when she passed away, I went to the hospital to show me how keen she was. And she was 100 or something. And I went to the hospital, and the team rang up in the room. She said, "Yeah, you wear shalom." She knew that was a partner. Me and my brother, when we was growing up, I mean, we looked alike. We had to take a second look to see who was who. And she knew. So my aunt, when she passed away, the niece gave me all these materials. I had the Quran, the actual Quran that Ibn created, and also I had two Holy Quran. Well, it's really one book. It's the Holy Quran, Yusuf Ali's translation, but it's two books. And because her husband was a Sunni Muslim. So when we grew up in the temple, and because he was restricted, I want to read to you what we were taught, some of what we were taught. It's so terrible.
Excellent. Excuse me, if you can just speak a little louder when you start reading.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, excellent. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So I want to read a few something that came out of the Quran, what he taught, what he was really teaching. But he wanted to teach the people that Jesus, or Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, wasn't God. He was a messenger. So I'm reading this of the Quran. So this is what the lesson that he was teaching, he was taught. It's in chapter 3, Elihu's lesson of unity and life, is where their name came from. He says, and again, Elihu met the pupils in the sacred flow, and no man lives until himself. For every living thing, bond is called to everything is living thing. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will love and not demand love in return. They will not do to other man's work, they will not do to other men, but they will not have them do unto them. There are two selves, a higher self and a lower self. The higher self is human spirit clothed with soul, made in the form of Allah. The lower self, the carnal self, the body of desire, is a reflection of higher self, distorted by the nifty eaters of the flesh. That's one area. And another here, I want to read this. Maybe you can comment on it, or you can ask me questions concerning it. One second. It's just not off. It's just
falling apart. Take your time.
It says chapter 13, Life and Works of Jesus, the Jesus among the Gentiles. It says Jesus looked Elihu and Shalom in Egypt, saw the story of his journey. Elihu and Shalom, praise Allah. Jesus goes to the temple, to the holy, to the Holocaust process, and is received as a pupil. And Jesus came to Egypt, and all was well. He carried not upon the cross. He went and once the dying, home of Elihu and Shalom, who have 20 years before had taught his mother in their sacred school. And there was joy when he met those three. When at last, and Jesus told the aged teaching all about his life, about his journey in his foreign land. So what I got out of that is, Ibn Ali, he came to teach Islam, and they didn't permit him to bring the Quran, but this was the book that he studied out of. This was called the Holy Quran of the Most Holy Temple of Science.
So beautiful. And there's another quote, historically. It speaks of, as he states, the fallen sons and daughters of the Asiatic North Nation of North America. I'm going to repeat that. The fallen sons and daughters of the Asiatic nation of North America need to learn to love instead of hate, and to know of their higher self and their lower self. This brings me to my next question. For you, and I'm hearing language that is similar, what was prolific about the introduction teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad?
Well, I grew up in North Science, and then when I became a young adult, I said, my friend was at the service. My brother said, this fellow named Gary, that is Salim Muhammad now, at the Stone Bramble Place. Then he invited Salim to hear the teaching of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And when he went to hear the teaching of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Salim came back and said, "Man, he said, I heard the teaching of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he's teaching us now." So the next, I think it was that Wednesday night, he went to the temple. And I heard Minister Gainsabah. And when I heard Minister Gainsabah speak, and then that evening, when we left, he was on our way home. So we said, "Yeah, we're going to join the temple." And so we went to the temple at that time, you know, if you, like if you could stand up, and then you stood up, they would take the name, and then they would, you'd have to write this letter. So I got all this, all the material. As a matter of fact, I got my same letter that I wrote, put on Elijah Muhammad. You had to write it word for word, dot for dot, and then they would send you correspondence back to give you your ex. So we were on phone for a long time. The reason why we were on phone for a long time is because in the Muhammad Street newspaper, you could order the tent. They make the verse on him. And Shalom, he ordered it, and they sent it to him. And he wasn't so-called registered at the time. He was still on form. So it took a long time for us to get in a correspondence back from Lionel like Muhammad, because they thought that he was trying Muslims. So what happened is, we got on form, and when we got our ex, we didn't know we didn't get an ex by me. They didn't get us an ex. The younger like Muhammad allowed us to keep our names. So, and they wrote the letter, and the younger like Muhammad says, so we put out, we were born like him, so long back. And the younger like Muhammad said, he knew the Arabic, so he said, Dia. So he grew up in the nation of Israel. So long and like him, Dia. And he came up to the ranks, and I remember the first day that I went there, I had a squad leader. He said, well, how many people do you think you can hurt? So I don't know, so he gave me 25. So I got the 25 people. And I went out and sold the tickets. So the next time, I went to the temple, and his name was Joseph Torres, and he was my squad leader. And his name was Sultan Muhammad now. And he said to me, he said, you think you can do the quota? I said, yeah, I think I can do it. What's the quota? 156. It was 156. So then I took the 156 newspapers, and I just grew up in the ranks, Minister James Shabbat. And so I went from a squad leader, I became a squad leader. Actually, the same, Joseph, Joy, Sultan Muhammad, I was on his squad as an assistant. And then I became, so you had 300 newspapers that we had to sell. So then I was, the only Elijah Muhammad was teaching throughout the white man's job to himself. So I was looking for a job, and the sister Robin was on the bus. And she said, I told her, yeah, I guess I didn't get a lease, and I'm looking for a job. And she said, oh, she's Brother Herbert. And Brother Herbert had a body shot. Brother Herbert, I went to see her, and Brother Herbert taught me how to cut hair. He said, okay, I'll teach you how to cut hair. And so I became a barber. So then after, you know, barber's biggest day was on Friday, Saturday. And so after I had 156 people, but actually I had 300 people that I had to sell. So when I became a barber, because normally when you go out of, you used to call a call out, you go out on call out. And when I got out on call out, that's when you sell your papers on the weekend. But being in the barber shop, so I wasn't able to be out on Saturday to sell the papers. So what happened is, after Shalom, so they created what they call a subscription to the Muhammad Street. So being in the body shop, because I wasn't out on Saturday to sell the paper, so every time someone came in the body shop and I cut their hair, I would tell them that you got to take a paper, a subscription to 900 Street Music. For a while, I had 300 subscriptions. And when I got to 300 subscriptions, they created Mr. James and put me in a subscription department, right? So I had 300 subscriptions, so I then they created the subscription department. So I was running the subscription department. And then I moved from that to lieutenant. And I moved from lieutenant to the first lieutenant. So that's my history in the nation of Islam.
So beautiful. You know, you are speaking of legacy and giving a historical foundation of the beautiful camaraderie of the Muslims in the first, as we call it, experience. You speak of Brother Herbert. Brother Herbert was married to Sister Marjorie. I have a good memory. And it is so beautiful because this was and is historically our extended family. And to show you how far this goes back, my sister, Dr. Nadia Muhammad, I'm Selena the oldest, and Dr. Nadia Muhammad is number 7. She's also the host of this show. She has an enormous amount of historical pictures of moms, Mr. Alex Alex, and dad, Brother Robert Seven X. And there, Eli, we have you and Dad, and the Robert 7 X, and one of those pictures, and your brother Salome and Lance, between the twin and grandson Gemma. And one of those pictures, the twins, were never far from one another.
Yeah, that's correct, because, I mean, we did everything together. The only time that we were separated is when I went into the military. For the first time in my life, I was separated from my twin brother. We used to do everything together.
Wow.
That was the first time I was separated from him.
That is so beautiful. You know, as we give this history, and before I continue, to the listening audience, the show is brought to you by New Africa Excellence, Ron speaks. When I speak about this history and the foundation of the legacy, Imam, let's talk about the state of Islam in America today.
You know, when Honorable Elijah Muhammad passed away, the new Imam came into office, and the first Imam used to come out on the radio hookup, listen to him around the country on the radio hookup. And Imam Ali Muslim, he was the Imam of Mosque number 25, and you know, number 25 is where all the other Nazis came to be, because he used to go out and invite the people to Islam. And so we had the United States Federal Headquarters at South Bond Avenue, 256 South Bond Avenue, Muhammad's Mosque, number 25. And what happened is, when the Imam came in office and he was talking to the Imam, he used to be on the hookup, so he used to listen to the Imam. And then when after the Imam, I was became the Imam of Mosque, number 25. So he was really supporting the Imam, Ali Muslim. And he went, the Imam came into town and he was with insecurity with the Imam. And the Imam told Ali Muslim, he said, bring those two brothers with us. He went to lunch. He was in town for two things. He was going to Wall Street because he was invited to be the brother from New York that used to work on Wall Street. So he invited the Imam to Wall Street because he was to be with the community. And then his sister wanted the Imam to speak at her college. And so the Imam came in, so he told the Imam, he said, bring those three brothers with him. So then before going to the rest of the program, we went to lunch. So we were sitting at the table, and the Imam came over here, very, very, but he listened. The Imam always say, talk a little and listen a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Imam was sitting there. So we were telling the Imam how the different brothers that were following the foreign income. Matter of fact, the Imam, when he came in the office, he was doing a court circuit show in Philadelphia. And another computer was me, Marat, Salome, and Imam Jeremiah Shabbat from Philadelphia. And there was another one. So we were waiting for the show to come on. So Jeremiah said, Ali would have been a better Muslim if he didn't listen to her. So I said, no, that's Jeremiah had an African brother with him, because at the time when we first got on the scene, the Imam was letting African brothers come in to teach us Islam.
Mm-hmm.
And so the African brother was with Jeremiah, and it was me, Marat, and Salome. And so Jeremiah was saying, Ali would have been a better Muslim if he would listen to Herbert or Jabir Muhammad. I said, Jerry, I said, that's not true. I said, because the Holy Quran says that it's Allah is Muslim. And right away, that brother from Africa, he said, Jerry, that does that. He said, Allah makes Muslim. You can't say that.
Yes.
So that was one of the challenges that he had back then. And then we went to dinner with the Imam, the new Ali Muslim, Shalom and myself, so the Imam was telling, Ali Muslim was telling the Imam, how these two brothers were twins. He said, yeah, I can see that. He said, he dressed nice. He said, he dressed nice. He said, he got a nice gift. You know, so I'm sitting there, you know. So I was telling the man about how the brother had been in the mission of Islam. He was so sharp, dressing and everything. That's how a lot of people wanted to know more about Islam because of the way they used to see us, how we were dressing and everything. And how when the brother started following the foreigners, he was dressing down. So I said, yeah. I said, but when my leader comes to town, I know my leader coming to town. I get dressed up, I get shot. So he was saying, so it's for the Imam, I have to charge him, but Imam, He said, a lot of times, a lot of people try to stroke me. So Imam Muhammad said, your brother, I don't stroke my brother. I said, yeah, what up, Imam? I said, I know you don't, I said, if you did, I would say, how much do you owe me? And Father Milton looked at me, Sloan looked at me, and then I got myself in my mind, I said, wow, I didn't say the wrong thing. And the man burst out laughing. The man burst out laughing. And he said, yeah, he said, brother. He said, that's a good way to put it. He said, I owe a lot of people. So then we went from there until we went to Wall Street. We was on Wall Street, and Milton Sloan was at two brothers. He said, we went to Wall Street. He's still going to the college and speaking to the college. And so we've done well since we've been in there. We got me, Ali Muslim, Salone, a couple of other brothers from New York, the brothers from New York, that worked on Wall Street. So we were going in there. And so they tried to get an email to buy a stock because he was the leader of the community. So when we came out, we were walking, and there were two African-American girls there. And they said, get out of the way. He said, look at him. He looked like they're coming to America, like they're coming to America. What do you say, man? Say, man, tell you how it's religious. Now, once the man was up on the scripture, so the man said, yeah, he didn't say it comes in, but he's part of the water going out. And then he went to the college. And then we really got a relationship with the man. So, he got a lot of Muslims. Before he passed, had been Friday, after the meeting, he was in his office, and he said to me, he said, man, like the way your brother keeps a trip. He said, yeah, I'm sure it's a good idea. I think that's a good idea or something like that. He said, but then he had to go to Chicago, and he went to Chicago, and he passed away in the hotel. The last time I spoke to him. And he never did come to say that he passed away from. So then the man came and did his generic. After being in the nation of Islam, then a man came in, and then I became on the son of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he brought the Quran, the real Quran. My husband was a Sunni Muslim. I have his Quran, they were 100 years old. Mm. And there's two books, and in one book there's two books. You know, most of the Quran now there's one book.
Mm-hmm.
It's about these translations. Like these Quran that I had, two books. And the big Quran in the middle of 100 years old.
Here's man talking. You know, you speak of, let's pick up where we left off earlier this week, because you spoke of Imam Ali Muslim, may Allah be pleased with him, and grant him Jannah, of the Janaza. So earlier this week, we were on Tuesday's Blog Talks Radio, Imam Malak, who was speaking about Janaza. He was telling the story of the Imam and his instructional process regarding Janaza. If you would finish that story.
I was at a funeral. And there was a brother there, a young brother, he was teaching. This is in the Imam's community. He gave Imam the injury. He had a young brother, he was a student teacher. And he was teaching that Friday Jummah. And he was talking about how, you know, right?
Yes, take your time.
He was speaking about life in the grave and how, and we hear a lot of people today say, oh, they put on life is in the grave, and they have light in the grave and the grave is spacious and all of that. And after the gym, I told him, I said, hey, brother, I put him to the side. I didn't do it in front of people. I said, hey, brother, I said, remember, peace. I said, why would there be a light in the grave when the dead can't see?
Mm.
Why do you need a spaces? And you were saying that you would be questioning the grave. The soul is not in that grave. That's the body.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to what Duali was saying, and what Duali was teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And Duali was teaching, there's the difference between the soul and the body. So the body is in the grave, the flesh is there, but the soul, that never dies. That goes on to another realm.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people never die. It's just like the trees you see out there. In the wintertime, they're dead. They look like they're dead, but the light comes back to them. So that just created a lot of people don't die. And so I took them to the side and I said, hey, brother, I said, you know what? something you know about how the vertical answer to the God and the prophet, that I'm a flesh and blood man just like you?
Mm-hmm.
He said, that's the reason they call this God and Jesus, the supernatural in the God. So the Quran, comes to correct that, and that's what it says in the Quran. He says, tell them, Muhammad, that you're a flesh and blood man just like them. Because that's what they did to Jesus Christ. They try to make Jesus Christ other human, other than you, and not God, right? So I said, brother, so he said, yeah, brother, thank you for telling me that. And what's happening is, Sister Selena, probably, we've been infiltrated still. We were infiltrated back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
We were infiltrated still. And what the Imam taught us, he taught us the Quran. But he also teaches, he taught Jesus. He was a shit in the Quran, so the Lord said that he's a worker. He said that he did. He said that. Look at this, if an Imam just come out on fire and you don't see him no more, he said that's not good. He said because you should be seen in the community.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's now he can ask you, if the Imam is teaching Arabic. And the Arabic, the whole thing was the two parts, verses, the Quran, and the second is community. They don't talk about community because they're not united. And they're not together, and they're not operating as a community. And when I say community, I don't mean just the Muslim community, because the Quran is for all humanity. So I'm not just talking about the Muslim community. What about the Christian community?
Yes,
what
sir.
About the Jewish community? They should be serving all humanity.
Yes, sir.
And you're not serving all humanity, and you become selfish, and you're cut off from humanity. And that's, I believe, that's our biggest problem. You're cut off from humanity. They meet here, but they're not here. They hear us, but don't hear us.
Mm-hmm.
That's because we're not making the connection. The Quran is for all humanity. It's not for just the Muslim. It's in the Holy Quran. It's for all humanity. So we cut off. Like my dad always said, we're in the tribe.
Beautifully put. Beautifully put, the state of Islam. You know, because when you speak of the dunya, or the deen, we're speaking about our daily involvement in the community at large, not just within the confines of where we live and work. As I listened to your story, you were going to the UN. So the Imam teaches are speaking to the world. If you would explain your process to teaching the tafsir, to going right into the works that you're doing on a daily basis, Brother Imam, if you would go ahead and explain your process for teaching the tafsir.
You know, I never thought that I would be on the radio. Murad, he used to be on another show, and he used to teach him something. But Murad, this guy, he used to teach this, Murad on the study show, and it went viral, and so he, So my job was, he would tell me, hey, look, what I need you to do is call in, make sure that I'm on the show this week. And if you needed any information about the Quran or whatever it is, you call me and say, all right, do the research on this and tell me what it says. So I never thought I was going to be on the radio. And that's what I used to do. I used to make sure that the guy was coming on, and then a word or something that the man used to teach or something in the Quran, you can say, okay, go look at that, study that, and come back and get it to me and let me know. So when the brother no longer had a lot of radio, knowing a lot, he went and bought the station itself. He purchased it. And he thought that he would just be, you know, on there, like he used to come on the brother's show. And he said, no, you have to take this for 7 days. And it takes that. And knowing a lot, he said, okay, so he started out by himself. He said, okay, he said, you got 15 days, but I got it. 47 days. So I said, man, you know. He said, you tell me the Quran. He studied all the time. He did every day. So that's how I got on the radio. I didn't know. I had no idea. So he'd ask me, he said, you want to go on the radio? I said, no. Yeah, I'm saying, I've just been like that all my life. You know, I've been a worker. I'm a soldier. I'm a worker. I mean, yeah, I don't try to push myself off. So that's what happened. So, so then the last thing, and then a couple of brothers came on, and they lasted for a little while, and then they went off. And then we got the sisters. There was a sister, I can't think of her name. She used to be on Hell TV show. And bad on me. Like, no doubt, bad on me. So she was on, and then when the sister came on, and the consumer after them, she got rid of them, and then just fell to the wayside. So that's how we got on the call. I got on the video. And I was doing security for the email, you know, every time the email comes to the East Coast, he would call for me and my brother. So we would go with the email, and we were security with the email. And then the email would be teaching. And a lot of times, you know, I was listening, but I wasn't listening because being on security, you have to have your mind on your job.
Yes, sir.
And you have to be focused. And this is serious. This wasn't a free thing. This is serious. So the man, sometimes he would make sure that I got a tape. Because, you know, and he was working for me. So then, someone would bring it every time the next come there. So the man, he liked boxing, so he came to one of the, matter of fact, he was a pretty good boxing show. And then he was in Indianapolis. Well, the tape was good. That's where he was at.
Wow.
He was in Mississippi. Living in Mississippi. And so we went and we put the young man in the street. So the young man came over with him alive. He told him alive the next day. And he said, see him alive? He said, see him alive. I said, see right now. He looked up there. He said, none of my people is there. And he said, so yeah, brother, you crossed over.
Oh. Beautiful history. Now, so I know early on you met Imam Arad in the nation, but what was that first meeting? How did you all first meet, you and your brother?
Well, I was a lieutenant. And Arad, he used to be a recruitment. He was flamboyant. He used to wear light color suit, gaiters, and sunglasses. And that was a no-no in the nation. It sounded, you know, he was black. You know, he was too flamboyant. So, you know, Arad kind of stayed in the truck. Good soldier, but he kind of stayed in the truck. And I was a lieutenant one time, and I was up on charges, and they tried to say that without us, having a affair with his other sister, or whatever. And then when I came to the mosque, you know, I said, so could the man just sit down, some instructions? He said, look, you can't charge nobody for trying to face unless you see it happen. So when I came in, I said, don't say anything, because you know, they just put you out the mosque in a heartbeat if you wasn't right. I told him a lot, I said, man, they ain't got you, don't say nothing. But that was my first encounter with Arad. But then when I got to know him a lot better, my guy liked to say, yeah, one day, as long as this city, we won't be with you tonight. We're going to protect your virtue. The first time I encountered Arad as a fitness man, to talk about Muhammad Thurman, he hired me for long to do security. And he was up in this exclusive restaurant. I think they had Muhammad Ali on circuit, first circuit. And they had a dinner, and you see Muhammad Ali back on first circuit. So I died. And for some reason, he didn't get paid. And I never forget it. Murad and Bach came, we were living in the towers. And him and Bach came one day, and he said, man, I know y'all didn't get paid. He said, but I'm going to make sure that you get paid. That's what impressed me so long.
Mm-hmm.
And Arad been like that all his life.
Mm-hmm.
And Arad was there in his pocket when he paid out. And if you were a friend, he was going in your pocket and he paid out. The truth is many. That's what attracted us. That's when we first really got it, Arad. And he used to say, the two things came to see we're going to protect another man's virtue. Matter of fact, Arad is one of the strongest real person I ever met. There's a man that had diabetes, and he killed himself from diabetes. He did so good that the hospital in Jersey City called him in to talk to the people in the hospital that had the disease.
Oh, my goodness. Listen, I want to hear more of this, but if you would speak, you're going in low, so you need a little muscle. That's better. Mm-hmm. That's much better. Yes, that's much better. Thank you.
Well, Murad used to say that the twins came to me and said, okay, we're going to be with you. I said, well, what do you mean we're going to be with me? We're going to be with me to protect my virtue. You can't protect another man, don't you? You know, we wasn't with Murad 24/7. We wasn't living behind closed doors. But what attracted me and to learn from Murad is that his honesty and his integrity. Because he came to us and he said, y'all didn't get paid, but I'm going to make sure that he gets paid. And Murad was the kind of man that he could go in his pocket and empty it out. And if he was with him, he had to go in your pocket and empty it out. You know, that he was there to keep his name, to keep his virtue. And the Rock was one of the strongest men when it comes to willpower. This man used to fast all the time. You know what I'm saying? And now, when he got diabetes, he was in the hospital, and he was diagnosed with diabetes in Daly City. And he told him he had to go on insulin. And the Rock didn't go on the insulin. And the Rock cured his diabetes. He did so good diabetes, and that the hospital called him in to talk to the people in the hospital about diabetes. So I was the man I was next. I think it's a protective virtue. If it don't sound right, and if it's not right, God don't do it. He has integrity, and he'll go in his pocket. And if you get him and he's done it to me as long, he'll go in our pocket too. He said, okay, this we're going to save our name. And that man gave up. That man gave up. He had Manny Pacquiao. He bought Manny Pacquiao like being looked. And he promoted Pacquiao, but nobody wants Pacquiao. You know what I'm saying? Because he had two losses. And the last one something in him. And he got Pacquiao. And he gave Pacquiao the fact that he was away. To keep his dignity, because they wanted to charge him with the Muhammad Ali belt. And in fact, and Murad said, before I let them do that, y'all can have that today. So that's what coming in Murad Clinton. Getting back to I was on the phone the other day. I wasn't even down there. I was on security with the email, because every time the man came here, he called for me and so on. So I know security. And so they was in the room, they were saying, oh, early now, et cetera. This email was doing this, and this email was doing that, and this email was over there, about this and that. The man was with it. And the man said, and he listened, you know, sometimes the man would be like, you know, kid in the room. You know what I'm saying? He'd be doing something else, and while everything else was going on, but he was listening to everybody. So after a while, he listened to everybody. You know what he said, Selena? When he said this, I mean, it changed my whole outlook on humanity. He said to them after he talked about this one and that one, he was doing this and he was doing that. You know what I'm saying? He said, brothers, let me say this to you. He said, stop judging people. He said, stop judging people because you can't even judge yourself because you did not create yourself. And when the man said that, I had the only explanation I had for another human being, I see another human being. And if I can do anything to uplift them, then I don't do if I can't do anything to uplift them or make them a better individual, a better person, then I don't judge them. The man says, don't judge people because you can't judge yourself, but you didn't create yourself. That, I mean, that was it. And that was heavy. And these were the heavy weights of our community. But they were talking about each other. And he told them, stop doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't judge that person. You can't judge yourself. Because you didn't create yourself. And this time, the religion is the teacher man. Because I went to the honor of Elijah Muhammad said, first you got to know yourself, then be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to know yourself and be yourself. And the process never goes away. Because from the cradle to the grave, you're studying who you are. You're manifesting who you are. And the guidance of Allah is the best guidance because he created you. So I just wanted to say that. You know, I never thought that I would be teaching the announced pastor. It's almost as though fell into my lap as a reward because when the man was trying to teach, I couldn't hear him because I was on security. I was working.
Yes.
And I never thought that I would do it. I mean, now they didn't show that I would get tapes. But there was a time when they started selling me now tapes. And they weren't selling me now any money. And then they didn't have the right equipment. That's most important. Because they didn't have the right equipment to make the tapes.
Mm.
And the man didn't like, he didn't like how the tapes came out. And he said, yeah. He said, and so he's selling the tapes. If you don't send me no one, so he cut it out.
Mm.
But he had rabbi with him, and rabbi would kick all his lectures. So the man sometimes he made sure that I got a tape. But I never thought that I would be teaching the Tashir Iman walked in honey because I think it was just a gift that fell into my lap, I guess, because of the sacrifice that I made to be with the Iman.
Yes, sir. You know, we were speaking, and, you know, I want you to share this with the listening audience because it was so important. You and them, God always speaks. The Quran speaks of this. There is no compulsion. It's in Islam. Metaphorically spoke of the instruction of Islam and the levels of learning of Islam. And he metaphorically stated that it's like a flower. If you can expound on that for the listening audience.
He told us, read the Quran. You can read it every day if you can. During the holy month of Ramadan, put the Imam every day. During the 30 days, you need to complete the complete reading of the holy Quran. But the Imam said this, he says, read the Quran. He said, if you don't understand it, he says, it's okay. He said, there's a lot of things you watch on TV you don't understand, but you keep watching. You see, the Quran, when you read the Quran, the more you read the Quran, Allah will guide you. You know, he says, even when you put a seed in the ground, and that's why I started. And I talked the seed, the stem, the flower, and the fruit. You know, when you put a seed in the ground, first of all, the seed is dead. It appears to be dead. Mm-hmm. It looks dead. When you put it in the ground, it doesn't just come up automatically. It takes time. The ground has to be right. The environment has to be right. And then the seed comes up as a sprout. And then the sprout comes up, and the leaves come on it. And then after the stem, and the sprout and the leaves come on, then a flower, sometimes. And then if you ever watch peach trees or pear trees, they have fruits before they have the pear or the tree. So the fruit is the last thing that comes onto the tree. So what a lot of saying, what the Imam was saying, is that there's a process. You don't get it right away. You have to wait. You don't get the knowledge right away. If you keep at it, you keep studying, you keep trying to, you keep pursuing it. And then the light comes up. Then you will get the revelation. But you can't get it right away. That's just looking at it. And nothing in creation is like that. So the Quran, or any scripture that was created by Allah, or the God of this universe, is the method is the same. The method is the same. You come, the light was created out of darkness. God didn't bring you from life to death. He brought you from death to life.
That's so.
And the Quran says, so there will be the resurrection. Meaning what? That you will have that same, you will come from nothing back to something. The Quran says that if you grow and some people die early, he says that then there are those that live to be old age, treatable old age, so that they will have known nothing after having known much.
Yes.
So it's a process.
Yes.
So it's a process. So you don't get it right away, but you stay at it. That's how knowledge comes to us. It don't come from just when you pick the book up. Oh, I don't want to pick the book up. No, you have to engage the book. And you read it, and you don't understand it. I read it. There's a lot I don't understand in the Quran right today. But Allah has left me to keep studying. And I keep studying. And there's a mercy from Allah that I'm teaching the Tafsir of Imam Waqi Muhammad. I'm teaching the Tafsir of it. Because in a lot of these masters, you understand, all they teach is rituals.
Oh, yes, sir.
And the Imam said, we had enough rituals. You understand? Those are rituals.
Yes.
The way you dress. The way you dress. The way you speak. The things you do. Those are rituals. You understand? The first thing is that the Islam tells you is to be yourself. Know yourself and be yourself. That's what Bible Elijah Muhammad taught. Know yourself and be yourself. And you say, what is yourself? A righteous Muslim.
Thank you for such transparency. You know, you spoke historically of how the Imam would speak on the radio. And I would hear the Imam, and often his rhetoric with regard to learning the knowledge is exactly what you just said, Brother Imam. He said, it's not instant, you learn Islam, but consistency is the key. Consistency. And that consistency is the key to our growth spiritually. Imam Arad yesterday was speaking about Islam. You spoke just now about the rituals. Not about the rituals. It's about what's in the heart. Thank you for such transparency.
Absolutely. And Sister Selena, the Quran says, Allah says, to show you what we are saying with you, Allah says, the Quran says that it's not your knowledge that will get you into paradise. It's your heart.
Mm.
Now, I read that, and I think about it. It says, it's not your knowledge that's going to get you in the paradise, it's your heart. I said, wow, come with it now. I said, why? Because what about our ancestors? Our ancestors didn't have the Quran. What about their family members? That was not Muslims. They didn't have the Quran. Tell me, they're all these people. And this is what they try to say. The only one's going to be in the paradise and in the is the Muslim. And the Quran don't even back that. The Quran says if you are Christian, if you are Jew, a Christian, a Muslim, or Sabian, and you are true to yourself, paradise is assured to you. But you got people that have tell you, you got brothers that have been in the Muslim, and tell you that anyone, well, you can't go to you ain't gonna be in paradise unless you learn this thing. Well, sometimes they'll say, they let you learn Arabic. You don't have to learn Arabic to be. What about our ancestors that suffered? You know what I mean? Because they don't know the Tafsir, or they don't know the Quran, or they don't know Arabic, that they're not gonna be in paradise. And you know, to show you how beautiful you are, well, you know, says that Allah will bless your family members. It's being sad, that's just because you love them.
Oh, isn't that beautiful?
That's because you love them. No other reason. He said if you love them, Allah will bless them to be in sad. Is they teaching that? No, they're not. No, they're not teaching that. You understand? They're wrapped up in rituals. And they wrapped up in rituals and did not even tell me what the Quran says. And then you go to the Jummah and they speak in Arabic. The whole Jummah. The Jummah is the two parts. First the Jummah, first part is the Quran, second part is community. But the reason why they speak in all Arabic and have been taking all this talking about the Quran, the whole Jummah, is because they ain't trying to build nothing. And then the ones that's building something, you're building it for you. You ain't building it for humanity. You're building it for you. You know, they build something for humanity. They didn't have their joy in there. That's right. So I'd rather see, if you build a big masjid, and then you're talking about building a masjid, then you don't even have supporters that can keep it running, that can keep it going. Because why, you have left the Quran. You understand? You left the Quran because you left humanity, because the Quran is for all humanity.
Beautifully
put. Quite a thought. So I think I left. You know, I'm not a good interviewer.
You are most excellent. You are most excellent. This is beautiful and simple, and what the community needs to resist it. I beg to differ, Imam Ibrahim. If you would share your final thoughts.
You know, Serena, we have always got together. Not the greatest thing.
Yes, sir.
The greatest thing in life is you want to belong to something that's meaningful. And that's the community. When you're a member of a community, whether you are a Christian or a Jew, whatever your religion is, even if you don't have a religion, then you still are a member of the human family.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get away from it. I don't care what you say or call yourself it. You can't get away from that. If you believe that Adam was the first man in Eden, and from them many generations, then we brothers and sisters, whether you like it or not. And if you're reaching for that, then what role are you reaching for? Because the Quran says is that Allah came, you understand, to teach us. And that's why we're not being successful. Not just in the world, but around the country, around the world. Because you have allowed Satan to separate us, even in religion. Did a Christian know that the Quran says that if you're a good Christian, you're going to paradise too? No. Why? Because you ain't teaching them.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a good Jew, you're going to paradise. So if they're going to be Jews and Christians and Sabians and Muslims in paradise, then aren't we supposed to be united in this world? You can't get around it. If you say you're a Muslim, you can't get around it if you say you're a Christian. And you can't get around it if you say you're a Jew. Because you can't say nowhere in creation that God didn't honor what he created. And he created the human being. And if you believe Adam was the first man, then his wife Eve actually is the two souls. It's not seen like he was in. The male and the female are the same soul.
Mm-hmm.
And the Quran says not seen like he was in. One soul. And that one soul is male and female. Well, what do you mean by that, brother? Male and female. It's only way you can come here. You can't come here if it's all women. You can't come here if it's all men. So the soul is less than that either thing. The one soul. But the one soul is male and female. So that's what we teach. And sister, I mean, I'll be teaching the United States here, but believe me, I'll be learning the United States here.
Yes, sir.
Because the more you hear it, the more and the greater understanding that you get. So I'm a student of Imam Muhammad. I'm a student of Elijah Muhammad. I'm a student of Nabi Gharabi. And as Imam said, he says, the position I take is I don't know nothing. Lord God, I know nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And he was so right because everything that you're learning, if you're learning anything, you couldn't do it without his creation. If you didn't have his creation, you wouldn't learn anything. If you didn't have nothing but that. So he said, teach your children. If you want your child first, teach your children that God created all of this for you.
Oh, yes. Wow.
So, I mean, I'm just thankful to Allah that you brought me on your show. I mean, I've, I stumble because I'm tired of them. I have to. And it's hard for me to get over it. But I love this religion. And I love people because this religion teaches you that humanity is one. And you're not growing because you're not united. And when I say united, I mean united. What I love is unity of all the spirits. So we should be reaching out to the Christians, to the Jews, to the Muslims, to the disbelievers, to whomever. If you're human, then God created you, and you're a member of this family of human beings. That's our first identity. Before we become African-American, before we become Jewish-American, before we become Latino, before we become whatever your title is that you created, the first title that God created was human being.
Yes, sir.
And if you're a human being, you're my brother and you're my sister, whether you like it or not. You're our sister all the time. And a lot, one thing about Marat, Marat is the kind of man that he wins people. And he wins people because not of his academics, but his ability to educate you. He wins people because of his nature.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying? And that's what made me fall in love with Marat. Because Marat is dedicated to whatever he thinks for me, that's why he dedicated to that. And once Marat put his mind to something, and he won't achieve it. And that's the beauty of this religion. This is what the honor of Elijah Muhammad taught us. That we are somebody. The world tried to say we are nobody. And the honor of Elijah Muhammad said, you are somebody. Get up, United Nations. You can accomplish what you will.
Yes, sir. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I am humbled. I thank
you just sitting there and I thank you, Allah, bless you, because you have come so far in such a short period of time. The people that you have interviewed I didn't even think I compared to that.
All praise to be to Allah.
You know what I'm saying? You have come so far in such a little span of time that it's unbelievable. It's just something that's in you, and I'm stupid.
Oh, it's so funny because Uncle Boy always reminds me, and you know, it's interesting because like yourself, you know, you should never do your own show, and you're going to do who their own show.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
And here we are.
Yep.
Beautiful.
That's how I love it.
Yes.
That's how I love it. All I know is the same. You don't know it's in you, but Allah knows it's in you.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, please.
You don't know the thing, but Allah knows the thing. And you don't know that you're going to do it until Allah determines that you're going to do it. But it's in you, but you don't know it's in you. And that's the soul. That's the soul. That's the next that Allah that's in for the human being. I think we see all these tragedies and stuff happening now. And you see all this racism coming up and all that. And now say this, he said, if you don't respect another man, humanity, he said, your curse is God will give you. God will bless you to forgive your material
master.
If I can't see you as a human being, then my curse would be that I can't see myself as a human being. And I begin to do things that are unhuman.
Yes, yes.
To you. And this is what's taking place in the world today. But the Quran talks about these times.
Yes.
It talks about these times. People killing people for no reason. So we're living in the time. You know, they tell the judgment. The answer, first of all, we judge every day. He said, but in the final day, he said, we're living it. He said, if you exist in it, and when you're living in it, you exist in it, he said, thank Allah. He says, because it's happening right now for all around the world. Look at this pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
It is not about medical.
Mm-hmm.
See, all the things you did. And then they talk about the last days that God can curse the earth. The earth don't do nothing. The trees, they don't sin. The grass don't sin. The animals, they don't sin. They're in their nature. Why did God kill creation? And the creation is doing just what God has to do. It's humanity that's wrong.
Yes.
take the human beingness out of his nature. And a lot of have to create nothing to straighten you out. You can't even, a word can't come out your mouth unless Allah will it first. You know, so you be going after something to kill it, and he's saying, Allah, bless you to kiss it. He's not mad at you in here. Look what the Quran says, that Allah is closer to you than this regular thing. Isn't that what the teacher teach?
Yes, sir.
There's double then. So that means that the life you got in you is actually the life God brings into you. So what we should be doing is helping humanity wherever you see it. That's your charity. That's your zakat. You know what I'm saying? Every time you go to the mosque, every time you go to the church, to the synagogue, wherever you go, you got to give charity. You said, if you see somebody in the street that needs help, you can give them some charity. You said, that's the best charity. Helping another human being is the best charity. And this religion teaches us that we are human and that we should help humanity. And when you do that, paradise will show up in you. So I thank you. I thank you for bringing me on. I'm not looking forward to anything like that. I don't be prepared to speak. And I'm just so thankful to Allah that He has shown me in my life all these different ideas, all these different ways that I have come to this Islam in my life.
You are most welcome. I am honored.
And I'm still growing. So
yes,
I thank
sir.
You. And,
yes,
I thank you. And I thank the listening audience that might be out there listening to me. And I want to say to you and the listening audience, thank you to Allah for what He has given me all these years. And I want to say to the listening audience that this is the holy month of Ramadan. So we fast and we pray and we read the Quran. But the fasting and the prayer is for Allah. Actually, it's for us. Because Allah is doing anything from His creation. So it's for us. Do what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be when you come out of the Ramadan, and if you take the Ramadan, and you observe the Ramadan, it's supposed to make you be a better human being. And that's the scripture. All the scriptures should be supposed to be a better human being. If you look at if you know what's going on in the tablet, if you study that, it's supposed to make you a better human being. If you go to Christianity, and you study the life of Jesus Christ, peace be upon the prophet, although you mention Jesus is God, but His message is that you be a better human being. And the same with Al-Islam. Al-Islam's message is that you be a better human being. It starts off with God. Be know yourself and be yourself. All the religions, they have the same message. That God created everything, and He created us, and we should strive to be better human beings on this earth. And in that, if you can do that, you can make this earth a paradise to live in.
Yes, sir.
For the health that we live in, so we're doing everything but being a better human being.
Yes, sir. Even Bobby, if you can give us the days that you speak on Blog Talk Radio to the listening audience, that they can tune into you.
I'm on Wednesdays at 7 p.m., and I'm on Thursdays at 7 p.m. And my subject is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Waqi Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. I will be on this coming Wednesday and Thursday, inshallah, in the evening. I say inshallah, it's Arabic. It's only if it please God, because you can't do anything unless it please God. You can't even get out of bed unless it please God. So I do say some Arabic words, but mostly I talk in English. Why? Because I'm trying to reach people that speak English. You know, I know they're Arabic. I can say Arabic, but what am I trying to do? If I'm speaking Arabic to an English-speaking person, then I'm not even following my five senses. But if our senses tell you that that person speaks English, if you have a religion, that's the truth.
Yes, sir.
So thank you, sister. And I thank Allah, and I thank you. And I'm not used to talking about me.
Oh, you did beautifully.
Yeah,
I appreciate your time.
I'm not really talking about me.
You did beautiful. You know, Imam Azizi Muhammad, I heard this live, and I will close with this. Imam Azizi Muhammad stated live, if you are not doing something to lift your brother or your sister, then what are you doing? And I think the sponsors of our show, Imam Alaa Muhammad, because this format allows us to lift our community and to go beyond our community to lift this world we reside in. And I say, Almighty God Allah, I thank you again, Imam Alaa. I don't want you to be a stranger to this show. If we want you back, we could do it a little at a time. You could talk about yourself because the legacy, our youth, your children, your grandchildren, our youth in our community, our young men, they need to hear you, our young men and our young women. We thank you for your legacy. To the listening audience, we thank you. This program is sponsored by New Africa Excellence, Barak Speaks. Thank you for joining us today. If you need to reach me, you may do so. SALIMAHMOH77@gmail.com. Have a blessed day. As-salamu alaykum.